Good morning and welcome. It is good to see you on this beautiful day the good Lord's given us. I know he's got something in store for us because we're here to worship and praise him in honor the name of Jesus our Lord. Let's look at a few announcements this week. The 11th today through Wednesday, the 14th Bible school at 5:30 till 8. Dinner will be served each evening at 5:30. Melissa, you have any final instructions? All right.
We'll be meeting in the chapel.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Thank you. Over there in the chapel, not here in the sanctuary. All right.
The dinner
will be over here, though, right?
Yes.
That's what we get that right. Yeah. Okay. Bible study Thursday the 15th at 10 a.m. And then Relay for Life is at South Lenore Friday 16th from 6 to 10. Any instruction on that, Joella? Just bring somebody, right? Yeah, okay. Okay. Coming up, Ladies Auxiliary, on the 19th, Monday evening at 7. We'll have guest speaker Linda Herring. And then the 20th on Tuesday, the deacons will meet at 7 p.m. And then the 24th will be the Deep Run Parade. Fireworks at 9 o'clock. Again, bring somebody, right? Okay, all right. So the nominating committee is in process of completing their reports for the annual meeting. If you've not got your nominees to them, see Dennis today and let's get that taken care of. Do we have any other announcements?
Joe.
Yes.
Deacons for about 2 minutes last week.
Gotcha. All right. Any others? All right, stand together, take your bulletin, let's read together responsively. Then I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, thus saith the Lord.
Send down the fire of your justice.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Send down the rain of your love.
Your old shall dream dreams, your young shall see visions.
Send down your spirit, bring life into your people.
In those days I will pour out my spirit,
and we shall be people of God.
Father God, it is a joy and a comfort and an honor to know that we're your people, made possible through Christ our Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. May your spirit touch us in new and fresh ways, helping us be reaffirmed of the fact that you love us with an everlasting love. Pour your spirit out on us as only you can today as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 11. We're going to sing all three verses of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Call for songs of loudest praise.
may be seated. At this time, Ms. Linda Faye Jenkins has our scripture readings, and that will be followed by Ms. Donald Smith with special music.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is a song of praise, and it's from Psalms 33, 1 through 12. And I'm reading from the New International Version. And in this praise, it's for deliverance from trouble. So think about this as we read this. Okay, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully. Shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He's faithful in all that he does. The Lord loves righteousness. He loves justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and he puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the name whom God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. So that is a praise for deliverance from trouble. Okay, in the New Testament, the reading is from the book of Matthew. And in this scripture, Jesus is calling Matthew as he calls us. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and he followed Jesus. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they ate with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come to call the sinners." Okay, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Continue to worship this morning as we pray. Are there any needs we need to remember?
Wesley J.
Wesley J., okay.
On top of it.
Okay.
And he really needs
prayer. Any others?
Pray for our country.
Okay. You also see on the back of the bulletin their prayer concerns as you pray each day. Remember these. Do we have any others?
My mom.
Okay. Miss Helen. All right. Billy's brother with her bag, but she's with her mom. Her mom's not doing as well as she was, so it looks like they may have to come back to staying with her around the clock. So keep them in prayer if you would. Any others? Let's remember these needs as we pray.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 630. We're going to sing all three verses of What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Oh, in your way to make your kingdom greater, and help us to be so too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. May be seated. Doxology. Seated. I have a card to read. It says, "Bless you. I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. The Lord works wonders through wonderful people like you. I want to thank each and every one of you for the front porch on my house. I was so worried someone was going to get hurt on the old porch. God bless wonderful people like you. God bless you all. Thanks again, Verna Ann Whitfield and family." Our scripture text comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 21. It's actually a passage from the book of Joel we read together in our responsive reading. It says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So we're in the season of Pentecost, and this was part of a message that Peter preached in Pentecost. And so today we want to look at that, and boy, I got some good news for you today. Hallelujah. With God, you're never to nothing. Can you remember that? With God, you're never to nothing. Jesus established a vision for his followers. We talked about a few weeks ago that seemed like mission impossible. Remember? He said, "Go you there into all the world and make disciples of all nations." That's a pretty big order, isn't it? And we talked about how could this motley crew of undereducated, underfunded, underachievers hope to pull this off? And we discovered it was only possible through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure everyone would agree with me. There's no limit to what God can do because God is all-powerful. And that's true, and we all know it. But today I want to put two words to this propositional truth that will take it from the realm of the theoretical to the reality of the practical. Listen, there's no limit to what God can do through you. When Peter was quoting the prophet Joel, this is exactly what he was saying. God is not the God of only the elite. God is the God of everyone. And everyone has a part and a place in his great kingdom. As he said in the last days, God says, I'll pour my spirit out on all people. You know what all means?
All.
All. Now, too many people believe that they can never be used by God in a great way, either because of who they are or because of something they've done. But I'm here to tell you that's not true. If you say, well, I can't be useful to God because I'm too old, and I know none of y'all have ever said that, it's not true. If you say, I can't be useful to God because I'm too young, well, that's not true either. Well, you say, well, I'm too poor. That's not true. Or you say, well, I've got too much money. God can't use me. I just got too much money. Well, that's not true. Well, you might say, well, I'm a woman. Well, that's not true either. Or you might say, I'm a person of color, or I'm the wrong color. That's not true either. You might say, well, you know, preacher, I ain't got no education. Well, that's not a problem with God, and that's not true either. And if you say, preacher, you know what? There's just too much in my past. Well, that's not true either. You're never too old. You're never too young. You're never too rich. You're never too poor. You're never the wrong color. You're never the wrong gender. You're never the one with too much of a past or too much money. And you're never too late to get in on the grace of God. Now, that's good news, isn't it? Amen. You're never too nothing when it comes to God. If you're only willing to invite God into your life and allow him to work through you. I want to spend a few minutes today looking at Peter's sermon. I'd like to draw a couple of things to our attention that we sometimes use as excuses. Now, I know y'all never made excuses, but you might know somebody that has, right? And you'll be able to get this information to them today, all right? All right. So, you know, sometimes we make excuses to put limits on ourselves. And in even some cases, we make excuses and put limits on other people. We don't think that they are qualified or able. Now, some of these ideas might rattle a few of you, but don't take that up with me. You take it up with Peter and the prophet Joel and God, all right? So that's how it was revealed to us here. So the first thing I want us to think about is the limitation. The first limitation is gender. Peter said, your sons and daughters will prophesy. And then he said, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. So when you think about prophecy at its most basic definition, it's just simply a message from God. God reveals himself to someone and they tell that message. Sometimes it's regarding the future. Sometimes it's something to happen right now. But it's God's revelation he puts on a person and they speak and they utter the message of God. Now God is saying through the prophet Joel and the apostle Peter that all people are created equal and that all people have a place and a role to play in the mission of the great kingdom of God. But there are churches today that would never give a woman the title of pastor or even deacon. You know, I've worked very close with many churches, many kinds of churches. Here's what I've observed. If God is disqualified from using women as leaders in the church he so willingly died for, man, we're in trouble. I'll tell you that. My observation is that the backbone and the foundation of most churches is godly and dedicated women who keep things going and make things happen week in and week out. The most effective teachers who teach in church are women who are helping the people of their classes become disciples of Jesus Christ. And, you know, even most ministry projects and outreach efforts are often fueled by the hard work of dedicated women who are not afraid to step up and lead and encourage others to fall in along there with them and do the work of the Lord. Women who don't care at all about a title placed on them, but only want to serve God the God that they love. Amen?
Amen.
I thank you, women. Now, here's what I'm saying. Titles and labels are insignificant compared to the actual kingdom accomplishments. Our God places a much higher standard on what you actually do to build his great kingdom as opposed to what others may merely think about you or say about you. No matter who you are, son or daughter, male or female, you have the opportunity to be used by God in a great way, even when others claim otherwise. Gender is not an issue with God. The second limitation that sometimes is used as an excuse is age. We have a tendency to think that we're either too young or too old, that it's either too early or too late for us to accomplish something great with our lives for the kingdom of God. When Steve was about 8, he writes, he said, I want to go trick-or-treating by myself, but my dad wouldn't let me because, in his opinion, I was too young. The following year, I wanted to go trick-or-treating, and my dad said that now I couldn't go because I was too old. And then my mom, bless her heart, spoke up my defense and said something along these lines. Last year, he was too young. This year, he's too old. Or you're saying there's some magic point in the past 12 months that he passed the magical age when a child could go to trick-or-treating by himself. He did get to go, by the way, thanks to mom. But I've noticed people in the kingdom of God is that some people have this mentality. Well, I'm too young to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Oops, wait a minute. Now I'm too old to make a difference in the kingdom of God. But here's what Peter said. He said, young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Young and old, God is able to reveal himself in a way to which people can be used to carry out the great work of God's kingdom. He's saying that age has nothing to do with it. And we can read stories in the Bible about babies having an effect or being used by God, and young kids and old people and even women bearing children that were way past childbearing age. Yeah, but we won't stop there. But what God is saying, his vision includes you now. Now, if you're under the sound of God's word and that God is able to reveal himself to you now regardless of age, no matter how old you are. I met a kid who's 22-year-old, and he's a pastor of a church. That impresses me. You know, a lot of people are not for that. He's too young. You know, he's going to have challenges he's not going to be able to deal with. Well, I'm sure he is, and I'm sure he's going to make mistakes, just like everybody else. But I know a lot of 20-something whose lives are just about video games. That's it. But here's a young man with the desire and the drive to lead people on their spiritual journey to accomplish great things for God. I think that's impressive. God is able to use him despite his age. Then I think about my grandfather, Julius Voss, preaching well into his 90s. You know, he could have spent all that time just being retired. No, excuse of limited age doesn't go too good with God. He is well beyond being able to use young or old. With God, we are not limited, hallelujah, by our age. And then the third limitation is race. And I'm not talking about racing cars either. Peter emphasizes that God will pour out his spirit on all people. There's that all people again. All means all. I mean that's everybody. God's vision includes all people. And, you know, when those guys left, after Pentecost, and they began preaching, they preached to all people. They went to every country they could get to, every nationality, every race, and they preached Jesus. And, you know, what I would say is if your vision does not include all people, then you got the wrong vision. Because God's vision to us as followers of Jesus Christ is all people. And in the first century, there was this mindset among many Jews that they were God's chosen people and that the Gentiles were at best second class. They were mixed race and they were second class, but, you know, they were not quite as good as us. You know, and the Gentiles considered the same thing about the Jews. They thought they were better than the Jews, and kind of sounds like today, don't it? Throughout history, people have always been able to find a reason to disregard those who are different from themselves. And they've used it as an excuse to be cruel and to even persecute people. In contrast, God here today makes this a point in Acts 2, as well as in many other passages of Scripture in the Bible, that He is not just the God of a few, but that He is the God of all humankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The world is the world. We need to remember it. It doesn't matter what color you are, what your ethnic heritage is, or what another's color or heritage is, that all people are equally created by God, and God can use all people in a great way. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:28, "For there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." And we can look at the world like that. It really changes perspective. In God's eyes, we're all the same. We're just sinners in need of a Savior. Some have called out for that, and some hadn't. And our goal is to get as many to call out and be saved as we can, because God loves the whole world. And the fourth limitation, the fourth excuse, is class. You know, when the Holy Spirit began to speak to the disciples, the common reaction was, it says they were utterly amazed. And they were utterly amazed. Aren't all these who are speaking, aren't they just Galileans? I mean, they are subpar. They are a lower class than what we are. And what's going on over here? Galileans in the first century culture could best maybe be compared to maybe hillbillies or rednecks. They were more likely to be of a mixed heritage. They spoke Aramaic with maybe sort of a lazy twang, often dropping the consonants. And they lacked this big city sophistication that you would find in Jerusalem. And they were considered to be lax in their observances of all the religious traditions of Judaism. And they certainly weren't expected to be articulate or multilingual. Yet God was speaking through them His message and reaching other people. And God continued to speak through them. He just didn't speak to them on that day of Pentecost. He continued to speak to them and use them in the years and the decades to come to establish His church throughout the world. Here's what I want us to understand. It doesn't matter what you don't have in terms of privilege and education and resources. God doesn't see what you don't have. He only sees what you can be. Isn't that good? You know, we tend to look at one another in terms of how we're limited. Well, maybe y'all don't do that, but I've done it before. You know, we tend to think about what we don't have. But God's not concerned about what we don't have. He only sees what we can be. And we're included in His great vision for the kingdom of God, for His church. The fifth and perhaps probably the greatest limitation, the greatest excuse that maybe people use is the past. This is the one I see that more than any other hold people back. You just don't understand how much I've sinned. You don't understand how many mistakes that I've made. You don't understand how many opportunities I've squandered. It's just too late for me. And that one's just not true. Peter reminds us in verse 21, he said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And what are we saved from? We're saved from our past. But not only that, we're saved from the present and we're saved right on into the future. When Peter used the phrase, "we'll be saved," yes, he's talking about a salvation experience when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's talking about when we're transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's light. And he's also talking about receiving the gift of His Holy Spirit. He's talking about the moment of salvation and so much more. When he says you will be saved, he's talking about the totality of our lives. He's talking about the work of God that begins on the day of salvation, and that is finally brought to completion when you stand before the throne of God. He's talking about the process of Christ being formed in you and you being conformed into the image of Him. And when he says you will be saved, he's just not talking about your ticket to heaven. He's talking about your journey to holiness. And he's big enough and strong enough and he's bad enough to get you there. Amen? Amen. Listen, if sin excludes you, all people will be excluded because all people sin. But hallelujah, the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin. Now and forevermore. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. So here's a lesson from Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Some people say, "I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too poor, I'm too country, I'm too bad, I'm too this, I'm too that. I'll never be able to play a role in God's kingdom." But God's saying today, I don't see who you aren't. I see and I know who you can be. And as far as I'm concerned, you're never too nothing to be a part of my kingdom. That's good. When you surrender your life to God, God's saying, when you surrender your life to me day in and day out, I will do great things through you. You will leave a positive dent in the universe. Not only will your life be great, but you will touch the lives of those around you. Through me, God, you will make a great mark in the world around you. And the message is still the same. In the last days, God says, I pour my spirit out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Don't limit yourself, because there's no limit to what God can do through you. Because with God, you're never too nothing. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word and what you teach us, that when we link our life with you, we should never look down on ourselves as being limited or not able. You know, in reality, we are limited and we're not able. But when we link our lives to you, there's nothing impossible with you, God. And I pray you help us to understand that today. We, your people, just pour out your spirit upon us, that we can dream big and our vision would be expanded to all people, and just give us that we need to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to hymn number 89. We're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 3 of Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.
Oh.
Again, we welcome you and thank you for being present today, bringing the spirit of worship. Carry that same spirit out to the world. Just pour it on somebody. And may God bless you this week. Remember this evening, Bible school through Wednesday, starting at 5:30. Deacons over in the West Wing briefly. Does anybody else have anything to say before we leave? All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this day, the time of worship, time of fellowship with your spirit and with our brothers and sisters in the faith. Pray you bless us so we go out this week. Bless Bible school this week. Bless those whose names have been called, who are sick, afflicted. And give us strength and fill us with your spirit. And help us to be able to love one another like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.